welcome to Gloom and Bloom. This is Christine.
This is Taylor.
And we are coming at you in our new chairs.
Oh my gosh, you guys, we got funeral home chairs.
Yeah, Taylor found them at a thrift store. Mm-hmm. $20 each.
Oh,
what a bargain.
A steal.
And they smell like ghosts.
They smell like ghosts. I'm pretty certain someone died sitting in them.
I think they were bored to death in these chairs.
I mean, they don't smell like dead person, but no. Like dusty old people maybe.
Yes. Yep. And so they're, you'll probably see, we'll post them for sure, but they're blue with a floral pattern.
Yes.
Not unlike what you would find at a church or, like we said, a funeral home.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or like some like really old doctor's office.
Oh, gosh. If you see these at a doctor's office, find a new doctor.
Find a new place.
Because these cannot be sanitized. We need to Febreze them. They just smell like old.
Yeah. Do you have Febreze?
I don't know. I'll have to go.
I know.
I have to go track some down. I made a trip to the thrift store and I found some candle holders and an Anne Rule book because I felt like she really brings up the vibe. Mm-hmm. So, and I found also haunted bronzed baby moccasins.
Yes. We're really elevating our space.
We really are. We've got paint swatches. Good things are going to be happening in the pod room.
My gosh, you guys, a lot of things are coming your way.
I know.
A new pod space for us and for your viewing pleasure.
Yeah, now that we video ourselves. And for those of you who have heeded our pleading and begging and commented on our reels, we really appreciate
you. Bless you.
Bless you.
We will send a blessing upon you.
One comment equals one prayer said by us.
If you don't, you will be haunted by the soul of the shoes ghost.
By that baby. It will be like whispering your name in its baby voice. It'll be like, Rebecca.
Yeah. Do you remember our episode of Dear David with his concave little ghost head? He's going to sit on the end of your bed and just tickle your toes in the night. Okay?
No, I don't want it.
He might even suck on one if you purposefully ignored it.
Baby toe ghost sucker? What? A baby ghost toe sucker?
That's right. That's right. Beware. Okay, be careful what you do.
Yeah, so please, go comment now. Immediately. We don't make the rules. We're just telling you the stakes.
It's the rules of the internet since the beginning of time. Mm-hmm. We know about the chain emails that used to go around forever. They're like, something terrible will happen to you if you don't forward this to 5 friends.
You'll have bad luck for 7 years. Mm-hmm. And look at the state of the world. Yeah. We know it was you who didn't forward the email.
Right?
You did this.
Yeah. And then like the people, they're like, hey, you need to like this photo. If this photo gets like 100,000 likes, Jesus heals. But guess what? It didn't make it to 100,000 likes.
That's a real bummer. We hate to see it.
So he ignored it.
But like I said, one comment equals one prayer. We will pray to, we'll have a seance actually for you.
We are going to have a seance. We're going to work really hard on our toe cracking and toe knocking.
Mm-hmm. Like those one sisters.
Yeah.
Anyway. How was your week?
It was so good.
Yes?
Yeah. We had company in town, so we were, like, packed.
Did they stay at your house?
Yes. So they came for a concert. It was Jared's sister.
Oh.
So they came for a concert, and then we did Lagoon with my husband's work.
How was that?
It was so fun.
It's probably more fun when you're not paying for a Lagoon.
Oh, absolutely. We will not pay for Lagoon.
No, you stop trying to be as expensive as Disneyland.
It's so
expensive. You're just not.
See, I don't even know how expensive it is because we've never paid for it in like a million years.
Yeah.
But it's just really fun that Annan's getting... Are you concerned about the ghost?
Yeah. There's no, I have lit candelabras, and I'm just looking at them to see how much they drip, because I've never actually lit tapered candles before. Sorry, so Lagoon?
Yeah, no. Annan's getting, like, old enough. He's going on some of the fun rides with me.
Oh, yeah.
But not all of them. Yeah, I think he's tall enough to go on almost all of them, but I wouldn't dare put him on something that's too crazy.
Yeah.
It makes me way too nervous.
No cannibal for him.
Yeah, no. He's like my oldest child, so I'm very hesitant about it.
Mm-hmm.
So
you don't get motion sickness on the rides?
No, not really.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So the Jared hangs back and goes on Ladybug Drop with Kira.
Yeah, he went on, because Kira can't go on anything. And I tried to take her on a few of, like, the kiddie rides, and she hated it.
No, oh,
which is hilarious, because she's, like, my biggest daredevil of all time.
That's so funny.
But
she's like, I don't trust these rides. Right? They look sketch.
She looks super sketch. So he went on the carousel with her.
Okay, that one makes me sick.
Mm-hmm. And then the bus that just goes like this in a circle.
Oh, up and down. It's just like, sounds like it's got a siren. It's
yeah.
Super not it's annoying.
Like, this fire department is on fire. I don't know.
It says that, yeah.
It says that. And then he...
it's a big problem when the fire department is on fire.
That actually happened in Draper.
Stop.
Do you not know about this?
No, recently?
No, like maybe 10 years ago, but yes, it caught fire.
That is so ironic.
Yeah. And I think it like got locked down because it was on fire. So they had to have other fire departments to come in to come help them.
Shit. They're like, what is this? Amateur hour?
Right.
Draper?
Such a shame. But, and then he did the like airplane one where it goes and like whips you around.
Oh, yeah.
Declan was like, Dad, I want you to go on the airplane ride with me. And then he went and he wouldn't sit with Jared.
Oh.
So Jared was in a car by himself.
He's like, I'm so glad that I'm here.
Yeah, he's like, great.
What a good dad.
I know. He's a trooper. And I was like, are you sure you don't want to go on any rides? He's like, I'm fine. You can just go on everything.
Yeah, see, and that's where I'm like, Todd, please go on the big kid rides because I get, like, I went on the swings.
You get sick on the roller
coasters? Yes, I get sick on everything. Like,
no.
Jocelyn has this turn board, like you stand on it and you can turn easier. And I just like did a pirouette. I did a double and I was like, oh no. My belly did the thing.
I have to rest for 1 hour now.
I know. I was like, I'm so elderly.
It's so sad when that happens. Well, people will send us like scary rides all the time.
Oh, geez.
And it freaks people out and I will post them.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that.
You wouldn't go on the ride, though.
No, I would absolutely go on them. I love crazy rides.
The ones that look so sketchy.
I wouldn't do any of the ones at the top of the stratosphere.
No.
No chance.
Absolutely not.
But most of them, I
like,
feel like
I'm a mother. I have too much to live for.
Right?
I can't be dying on a roller coaster in Vegas. I can't have that on my headstone.
I can't do it. That one that just like shoots you towards the edge.
Oh, yeah. And you just like drop. No.
I'm like, nope. No.
No.
Not about it.
I can't and I won't. Yeah. But the new Haunted Mansion movie is out.
Yeah, did you go see it?
I did.
Did you like it?
I've been to so many movies, like the most movies I've seen in like 5 years.
Yeah, because
this month.
We never go to movies.
I know,
because
neither do we.
We have a baby at home.
Yes. But it was really cute, actually. Mm-hmm. I was really nervous because my kids are afraid of everything.
Oh, really?
And I was like, oh, man. But, like, at first they were scared of the ghosts, but then by the end the ghosts, I feel like they get sillier as the movie goes on, so they weren't scared. But it was, the message was really sweet.
And it has Jamie Lee Curtis in it.
Yes, she's in it. She's and the so cast good. Was great. Danny DeVito is in it. Mm-hmm. Jared Leto is in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it had like a lot of parallels to the ride for like stretching walls and, you know, all the same people and ghosts. Yeah. And anyway, I think you'll love it.
I need to get out to the movies. I feel like I need to just like have my mom babysit and go for like a whole day to the movies.
Oh my gosh.
Because I want to see Indiana Jones. I want to see the Barbie movie. Mm-hmm. I want to see.
You got to watch Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer.
You got to watch, Haunted Mansion.
Haunted Mansion.
What else?
Basically, everything that's in theaters right now, I'm going to just watch all of it.
All of them are must-see.
Must-sees.
I haven't seen the Barbie movie, though.
I mean, we did take my kids to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for Annan's birthday.
Was it cute?
I slept.
Oh.
I was so tired.
Great.
So.
You partied so hard.
Yeah. It was like funky animation, which was
kind
of fun.
Yeah, it looked really
which I
different.
Like kind of that different style, but
yeah, it reminded me of the new Spider-Man movie, like that kind. Like it was really different animation too.
Mm-hmm.
But did your kids like it?
Yeah, they loved it.
Good.
So take them to see it. I don't know.
Yeah, get out there, guys.
Yeah.
Okay, another thing. Todd and I started watching a new movie because he just isn't into the crowded room. Why? I don't know.
What is wrong with him?
I don't know. I think he, like, just wasn't paying attention, then he got lost, and now he's, like, not into it. So.
What was he doing? Is he looking at his phone?
Yes.
Put it down. Put it down, Todd.
I know.
Slap it out
of
his hand.
So we started watching, it's called Hijack, and it has Idris Elba in it. So good.
I've heard it so good.
We watched almost four episodes last night. We couldn't go to bed.
So he could follow that one, but yes. Not the Crowded Room.
Oh, yeah. He was more invested in it for whatever reason. Because it's Idris Elba. Look at it. He just is a badass.
He's amazing.
Yes. So, yeah. It's like the plane's hijacked and it's just so good. You're like, that guy's bad. And then you're like, wait, why are they even doing this? I still don't know.
I don't know.
I still don't know.
Apple TV, crushing it.
I'm telling you. I know. That's what I told Todd. I was like, just go to Apple TV. Anything there is great.
Totally.
Why aren't they sponsoring us? Ugh. I'll never know.
What a shame.
Anyway. And that's all I got. That's all I wrote down.
I know. I'm like, what else did I do this week? I mean, just that mostly. Oh, I did send Christine a reel of people who preserve their dead relatives' tattoos. By saving a portion of their skin.
Yeah.
No.
I said, please let me take my tattoos with me. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, so I'll post that reel because, wow.
It was yucky.
Like, where do you put that?
It's like, what a weird art you have. And you're like, it's my dad's anchor tattoo from when he was in the Navy.
It's my dad's back. Thanks.
Back tattoo.
It's my dad's back.
Well, and then, like, you have to cut up your loved one, having a piece of their body
it's
with you.
Fine.
I don't know about it.
It's fine. They I don't think about it. Each of your girls gets just like a little leathery piece for a keychain.
Yeah, they're like, I want your tiny airplane tattoo. And then they, they just keep it with them.
Yeah. Kind of like a rabbit's foot, Lucky Charm rabbit's foot. And then just like a skin
it's just
piece.
It's a chunk of my mom. Ew. I'm going to text Kate.
I can't. You what?
I'm going to text Kate. Turn down the air. Are you hot?
After hauling these chairs around.
I know.
It's the ghost. The ghost is giving you a hug in the chair.
I know, pretty much. What am I looking at here? Anyway. I'm like sweating because these chairs were so awkward. We had to move around all the furniture in here. But we did it.
Yeah. Well, the chair that you were sitting in was massive.
It really was quite large.
It's one of the biggest single chairs I've ever seen.
And it's so big. It's also super deep. I had to like put a pillow behind my back because it was.
You fall into it.
Yeah. I would like be like a toddler with my knees out straight.
Yeah.
In front of me.
Because before we had this table this way and I was sitting in it.
Yeah. And you were like pregnant and I was like, sorry, I did not know that this
was
so
uncomfortable.
No, it was fine. So uncomfortable.
But then like once we switched to this way, you couldn't get past.
That's right.
Because it's so deep. So deep.
The deepest. So I saw, if you don't follow All This Interesting on Instagram, you are missing out.
Oh, yeah.
I sent Taylor a post that said, it's a picture of a manatee. Bless you. And it's like, oh no, sad. This beloved Florida manatee died after he was injured by a high-intensity sexual behavior with his brother.
Dude.
I was like, oh, and then I was like, whoa, whoa.
Aggressive.
High-intensity sexual behavior.
Right? Well, and then it reminded me, because you know those like creepy island boys that was like,
yeah.
Have you seen anything about them?
No.
Apparently one has came out by posting videos of him making out with his own twin brother.
No!
It's terrifying.
Because I saw people referencing Island Boys in this, in the comments, and I didn't get it. I guess that makes sense. He's like, I'm gay. I kiss my own brother.
And you're like, great, that's fine. But like, let's not go into incest now.
Yeah, being gay and being incestuous are
separate
things.
Yes.
Should be. But apparently they're one and the same for the Island Boys.
For the Island Boys, I was like, oh.
Oh, you're doing that.
Yeah. Because so I like had went into TikTok because I read something about him posting incest stuff. So I went to TikTok and I just typed in Island Boys because I was like, someone's got to be just talking about this. Right. And then I clicked on a video and it was just one of them making out. And I was like, wish I didn't click on that.
And then, but the other one who's letting his brother make out with him is not coming out.
I don't know. That's why I'm confused.
Please clarify. Actually, Island Boys, maybe just be quiet.
Maybe just like don't have a relationship with your sibling. That's my only ask.
All we ask.
That's my only ask is like, hey, like maybe if you both exited the same vagina, we don't.
We don't. I don't think we do. I don't think we should.
Way.
I think that's fair.
I think it's.
I don't think that's asking too much.
I don't think so either. But you know, to each their own, I guess.
Oh, and then I sent Taylor this other thing. It's like a meme. Shithead Steve posted it, and it says it's a picture of a girl, and it looks like she's got tears in her eyes or something. And she's like, "When his name starts with a J and rhymes with one of the 50 states." And then when the comment, one a guy says, "You leave my boy Massachusetts alone. He didn't hurt anyone." And I'm like, I was literally trying to think. I was like, J name that rhymes with a state.
Yeah.
I didn't come up with much.
And what is the one that I said that it actually was? Someone commented it.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Yeah, so someone commented and I was like, that makes sense because it was...
Oh, Jermaine?
Yeah, because it rhymes with Maine, but it starts...
It's
but it's barely super weird because I think Jermaine is typically G-E-R-M-A-I-N-E or something.
Yeah, you're right.
And they were saying it's Jermaine spelled with a J.
Because I wrote Jane, like,
yeah,
as in Maine. And then I also wrote Joshington.
Joshington.
Like Washington.
I think it's it.
It could go either way, but it's definitely Massachusetts is the front runner.
Definitely.
There's a new name for our Utah listeners who like to use.
There's strange names out there. I actually follow a Facebook page. Let me find it because it's hilarious. That name isn't a tragedy, spelled T-R-A-G-E-D-E-I-G-H. It's a murder. M-U-R-G-H-D-Y-R-R.
What?
And people will go on there and just discuss terrible names that they've heard. Or, like, people will say, is this, I'm trying to name my kid this, is it a bad name? And everyone's like, if you have to ask, it's a bad name.
Yeah, you should know.
So, if you need some entertainment, go follow that Facebook page.
I love it. Mm-hmm. I don't do Facebook these days.
I know, I don't either, but sometimes I'll go on.
Yeah.
Just makes me happy.
I love to see it.
Yeah.
I should get on Facebook. I miss the days of trolling all the people I know from my town being like, oh my gosh, so-and-so is really airing her beef with her grandma.
Oh.
You know?
It's the worst when, like, I don't know, people just start airing weird stuff.
Oh, and yeah.
Like, oh, maybe don't.
I feel like that's more of a thing of the past. I feel like a lot of people maybe learned, maybe not.
Nope.
I remember when I was bored.
I follow some people who don't learn.
Well, on like neighborhood Facebook pages, people just go ham.
Oh, yeah.
On how much they hate their neighbors and whatever is happening in their neighborhood, how things are unacceptable.
Oh, yeah. No, it's like divorced people.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. So here's a call to action. If you have some Facebook beef that you saw that you want to share with us, that'd be much appreciated.
We'll keep it private. Like, we won't say your name.
Or put in fake names or whatever. Like, I just really want to hear it. I miss those times.
Facebook beef.
I miss it.
Or Instagram beef. Mm-hmm. Any beef.
Just, where's the beef?
But not beef curtains.
Oh, that's where we draw the line.
We don't want to hear about that.
Oh, speaking of beef, because one of our episode titles is called Beef with Space, and so it made me think of space, which brings me back to aliens, which we have. In the court of law, somebody said under oath that aliens exist. Did we talk about this last week?
A little bit.
Yeah. So how do we feel about that?
I don't believe it.
Yeah, right? I said the same thing. I don't believe it.
Yeah.
But I saw this meme this week that was like, I believed in aliens until the government went on the records and said that they exist, and now I no longer know what to believe.
I was like, I'm like, what? Like, are they storing, like, some creature somewhere? Like,
right? This all comes... We need to tell the story of Roswell.
We will.
We will.
We will sometime.
In fact, we will. What episode is this? 99?
99.
Oh my gosh, big 100.
I got 99 problems.
And you guys are all one.
We love you.
all apparently only 99 of you.
But a ghost ate one.
Oh my gosh. Yet.
Until our ghost shoots.
I thought you said a ghost ate one. I was like, oh no.
A ghost ate a problem. And now there's only 98 problems.
I hate when they do that.
I know.
Anyway, okay. We're at 23.
Perfect. Okay. Who's first?
I think it's me. Because like, I did all my lake puns.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Here I go. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Hang on, I have to belch. Okay. So, in your mind's eye, clear your mind's eye.
Mm-hmm.
Clear
mm-hmm.
it. Now.
It's blank.
Now, you're going to 1996.
Oh.
You're there. But you're in Sweden.
Oh.
Mm. Things are amazing there because you're in Sweden, and I'm sure things are really clean, and the dairy is really pure and fresh.
Oh, yeah.
The cheese. Are you kidding me?
This is a time even before Mbop, you know?
mm-hmm. Can you even imagine?
I can't.
No.
I can't even imagine.
Sweden is delighted. They are hosting the Summer Olympics this year.
Oh!
Yay for us, Sweden,
yes.
in 1996.
I mean, shot put? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Can't get enough of it.
No.
Is that also... No, I was going to say, is it also the one where they sweep, but that's the ice
one. Oh, yeah, that's curling.
Yeah.
and then I wrote, they're coming to Sweden today.
Yes, speed walking.
Yeah, they're speed walking. That's a thing in the Summer Olympics. Neil Diamond, he said that. He said they're coming to Sweden today.
Sure.
The Fugees killing me with his song... Killing Me Softly with his song is at the top of the charts. Okay?
I love it.
And then in comes Karina, the girl in our story today. In March 1996, Karina Holmer, she just had the world at her feet. She's done with high school. She's trying to figure her life out. She came from the small town called Skillingaryd. What?
That's right.
Skilling
you heard it here first.
Mm-hmm. That's how they say it. It's about 150 miles away from Stockholm. So she was part of the Pony Club, which is the equivalent of the Girl Scouts. I said, I'd like to join the Pony Club. As
I was hoping.
Go for it.
It was like that hobby horse competition.
Oh my gosh, that's in Finland.
Yes. If you guys have not seen... They take the stick horses that you would get when you're 5 years old, but they will compete trotting around on them.
Like crazy, like steeplechase, jumping over things. And then I saw the comments on that where they're like, PETA loves this.
Yes.
Because there's no animals
involved.
So
it's not this, though. Okay.
It's not.
Okay.
She was like a Girl Scout.
Okay.
And then I said that I would like to join the Pony Club as I am in my cowboy romance era. I think I ought to join as well.
I love it.
Love that for me and Karina.
Mm-hmm.
So she was happy. She loved being in Sweden and being a pony girl. She wanted to travel and she bought herself a lottery ticket. And you know how much she won?
How much?
1,500 American dollars.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm sure in 1996, that probably went a long way.
Sure.
So she's like, this is it. I've made it to the top. I'm, bye bitches, I'm going to the U.S.
Yeah.
So she bought tickets and she went to Boston. Not sure why, but she did that.
I mean, Boston's beautiful.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I need so many more details. I read multiple articles and they only had scant details.
Oh.
Like, why did she want it? Like, what's in Boston for her? Why? Anyways.
Well, that amount of money today is close to $2,916.
Oh, that's not that
It's
much.
Really not that much.
Well, shit.
Yeah. What a bummer. I mean, don't get me wrong. If I won almost $3,000, I'd be pumped.
Yeah, but that's not enough to be like, now I can finally relocate to a different country.
I'm like, great. Maybe I can, like... buy something nice that I like.
I know. No.
No.
Now I'm getting the extra guac.
Yeah. I'm going for it this time.
Going all out.
And the queso.
Yes. And queso. Please. Mm-hmm. Okay. So she didn't have an official visa, but she found work as an au pair to a couple in Dover named Frank Rapp and Susan Nitcher. He was a commercial photographer and she was a painter. We love an artistic couple.
Oh, absolutely.
And they needed an au pair to take care of their small children.
Yeah.
Of which they had two.
Yeah.
Okay. So she is said to have a very sunny personality and a kind nature. So she was a really great au pair.
Yeah.
So she was working with them for some time. Unspecified. We don't know.
No.
Was it months? Was it 1 week?
Was it years?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But so after she was done with her work week, looking after the family, she would go spend her weekends exploring the city, partying with other foreign au pairs. So I think they would like find each other on websites.
In 96?
Apparently. It says that there's like talk of a bulletin board.
I mean, chat rooms, I guess.
Yeah, maybe it was a chat room. So yeah, she met up with other foreign au pairs and they hit all the nighttime spots.
Awesome.
So Frank, the dad that she worked for, owned a studio property in Boston's Fort Pier neighborhood. So Karina would use it to sleep in after she would party. Like she would go there instead of going back to the house for the weekend.
Okay.
Yes. So one night in June, on June 21st, 1996. So, okay. March, April, May, June. So she's been there just a couple months. I just figured it all out.
Yeah.
She went out to friends. I mean, went out with friends to a club named Zanzibar. So she was actually only 20 and she wasn't of legal age to drink. She had a fake ID and the bouncers just let her through the door. So at some point during the evening, things started to go wrong. And then I wrote that it's probably really annoying living in Europe where you can start drinking and going everywhere at 18 and coming to the US and being like, actually, you're still a baby. Yeah. You can't.
Like, sorry, we changed our mind on you.
Yeah. They're like, not on the watch of the United States, ma'am.
Right.
You will not get drunk. Well, it's
also really annoying, too, when people, like, emigrate here and they, like, were a doctor where they were. Oh, gosh. And then they're like, sorry, it doesn't carry over. And you're like,
cool, so I have to get new.
Cool.
Tests.
Seriously.
So stupid. Ugh. So the young Swedish beauty lost track of her friends. They like all got separated because they were too silly, too drunk. It's because she was drinking underage. If she was of age, this would have never happened.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so they didn't have cell phones. So it was like really easy to just lose track of people.
Truly. And it's just because you and I have grown up in a time where I've had a cell phone since I was like 15 years old.
Yeah.
Same. And most of my friends have had them at least that long, if not longer. So ever since I could drive, I've had a cell phone.
Oh, yeah.
And so the thought of me being somewhere where I couldn't immediately contact someone is terrifying.
So scary. No, I hate it.
I can't even imagine.
No, I would not. I would never go anywhere.
Yeah.
Okay. So all of them were considerably intoxicated. And at one point, she reportedly passed out in the bathroom and had been asked to leave by a doorman. And I said, what a great idea. Kick out the practically unconscious young girl that's all alone.
Right?
What a great idea.
Maybe call her a taxi or something.
No, they're just like, you can't, you have to leave.
Get out of here.
So a witness saw Karina outside by the intersection of Boylston and Tremont a little later. Possibly sometime around 3 a.m. It's unclear if she left Zanzibar alone or if somebody else was with her. There were various sightings putting her sitting in a vehicle, standing in the street, walking unsteadily near an alleyway. And some people saw her dancing.
Yeah.
So unclear.
Yeah. By the way, do we think that this is the Zanzibar that's spoken about in Jack Black's song?
I saw something about that. I think it might be.
Okay.
I should have done more research on
that. I'm very interested.
Apologies. So the final confirmed sighting that would prove to be the last one. Oh, yeah. So somebody said they saw her walking near an alleyway. That's the last known sighting of her. So then on June 23rd, 2 days later, a homeless man was looking through trash bags in a Boston Back Bay neighborhood, hoping to find some cans and bottles that he could recycle in exchange for a couple bucks. And to his shock, what he found instead was a partial body of a woman lying concealed in a dumpster.
Who found this?
A homeless man.
No.
He was like looking for trash to recycle. And the worst part of this murder, and the reason why I picked it to cover, is because it was only the top half of her that was found, and her lower half has never been discovered.
No!
Yep. So, poor Karina Holmer had been killed, and the bottom half of her body was missing. And the Boston Globe...
That's very disturbing.
Yeah. They reported that the Boston Police Department quickly began to investigate and surmise that the murder could be someone who had experience in butchery, because it had been separated using just like the bone and the spine. Like, it was pretty clean. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Boston police would not say if the body was clothed at the time of the discovery, and it's possible that her killer severed her body to cover up a sexual assault. Authorities said that she was sawed in half right below her ribs and above her pelvis between two vertebrae.
Oh my gosh.
And yep, she'd reportedly been cut in such a way that her spine was the only bone that the killer had cut through. So, like, pretty precise.
Yeah.
It hadn't been done in the place where she was found. So, like the Black Dahlia, we don't have a crime scene. So it took place somewhere else, obviously. So they didn't know where the murder took place. They suggested that the killer might have been trying to cover up a sex crime or even a potential pregnancy. Yeesh.
I just feel like it's so creepy too, and like so risky to like move the body like that.
Right?
Yeah.
I know.
It's too much.
It's like she's heavy. It's probably pretty messy.
Totally.
Yeah. Police said that she was strangled to death with some type of a ligature and then cut through post-mortem with some kind of a saw. So her torso, it weighed 48 pounds. There were no bruises, no defensive wounds, or blood spatter. So basically she was strangled and then everything was done to her body. Like, she didn't get a chance to fight back. So no evidence was recovered other than a partial fingerprint on one of the black bags. It didn't match anybody in the system. So, and there were just ligature marks around her neck. So that's how they figured out that she was strangled. Witnesses were questioned to try to find leads in this case. I'm wondering, it wasn't mentioned, but I'm curious if they searched other dumpsters in the area to see if they could find the lower half of the body.
Totally.
Because wouldn't it make sense to... like, split it up?
I assume so, though.
Or, like, what did they do with it? Like, besides throwing it in the garbage, which is a really great, terrible way to get rid of evidence, because once it goes to the dump, your chances of finding it are, like, zero.
That's probably true. Is mm-hmm. that, like, actual, like, do people talk about that? Like, once it goes to the dump, it's, like,
yeah,
impossible?
So, like, do you remember that Utah murder, like, years ago, Lori Hacking?
Mm-hmm.
Her husband, she was in a landfill. They yeah. didn't find all of her, but they found a good portion. But it was, like, so difficult to find anything because...
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It just makes you wonder, like, what's all in there?
Oh, I don't want to know.
I don't want to know.
Like, thinking about a dump makes me stressed.
Seriously.
So nasty. Okay. Anyway, it doesn't seem like they even looked for her lower half from what I read. And yeah. I'm like, ugh. Okay, so another interesting clue was that a letter written by Karina to a friend at home in Sweden just a few weeks before her death. So it pointed towards things not being as good as she expected here in the U.S. She's like, American dream. That's what I won the lottery. I'm getting the American dream. So she wrote that, quote, something terrible had happened. And she was stressed all the time. Although she did not reveal what it was, she kind of made it sound like, once I get home, I'll tell you more.
Oh.
Because she had made arrangements to return home in August. So it was June. So she only had a little bit of time left.
Crazy.
And she said that she was feeling homesick and no longer wanted to be an au pair. She said, quote, there is always so much cleaning and I am stressed all the time. So this is not exactly what I thought it would be. And I was like, yeah, basically becoming a stay-at-home mom yeah. when the kids aren't even yours.
Welcome to motherhood without... actually having children.
I know. And I was like, if I did, like, I wouldn't sign up for that job. No. Woof. No thanks.
I could never.
Yeah. Doing it all for someone else. I'm like, I don't even want to do it for myself.
Right.
It's so much work. But here we are.
Yeah.
Yep. Unfortunately, the lead with the letter, they didn't find out any more information about, like, what the something terrible was.
Yeah.
They don't know. So... the case went cold and stayed that way, becoming one of the yes. longest running unsolved crimes in the state of Massachusetts.
Oh, no.
Womp womp, the end. JK.
I was like, oh my gosh.
You're like, Christine, what a stupid story.
I hated it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. But all we have left now is theories. Ooh. Let us discuss. So there are lots of theories. It's been 25, let's see, more than that now, years since this murder. So there has been speculation that she may have been a victim of a serial killer passing through Boston. Other rumors suggested that Karina's employer might have been behind her death and that they were secretly using the studio apartment to hook up when she wasn't working.
So the serial killer, the only thing I would say with that is, were there other girls like in nearby states that were getting killed in the same way?
I will tell you.
Okay, because I'm like,
this is just an overview.
No. Yeah.
Yes. So, so the dad was questioned and then he was cleared by investigators.
Okay.
And so then this is a quote from him to the Boston Globe. "I am definitely not a suspect. My family is completely devastated." That sounds like what a suspect would say.
Absolutely. Okay. It also sounds like something an innocent person would also say.
You just can't win.
You really can't.
Another person of interest was a local man named Herbert Witten, who had been seen on CCTV talking to Karina the night she disappeared. He committed suicide just a year later, but police ruled him out as a suspect after a speeding ticket put him elsewhere at the time of the crime.
Oh,
so I was like, good for you, Herbert. So 2 decades after the death, it is unlikely that the lower half will ever be found.
I really hate that.
Yep. And even if it is, it won't be in a state that will be helpful at all at this point.
Yeah.
So a theory has been floated around that she was the victim of the serial killer, like I talked about. Mm-hmm. So there was a serial killer that spent some time in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, murdering sex workers. So this serial killer's MO was to find young, slender women with blonde hair, which our girl has blonde hair.
Yeah.
And to cut her body in half before leaving them in the dumpster. Ooh. So it fits the profile mostly.
Minus the sex worker, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It could be a coincidence that her murder fits the description like a glove, or is it possible that the Florida serial killer went up to Boston for a long weekend? I mean, unlikely, but crazier things have happened.
Steve, how was your long weekend in Boston? Oh, it was so great. Like, I just got to relax. I got to do my favorite pastime, killing. And then I just, you know, took a nice jacuzzi and I headed home.
He's like, and guess what? I lost half the body. I have no idea where it went. Right? Just lost.
Can you believe it?
Just can't find it anywhere. It's the craziest thing. Okay, so unsolved murders lead to all kinds of unchecked theories. So there's lots of amateur detectives out there coming to a similar conclusion since her upper body was found. They think that her boss was behind the murder. He is a very likely suspect because, man, in her life, that's literally the only thing that needs to be on you to make you a suspect. So the prevailing theory is that he allegedly allowed her to stay in the loft he owned so that they could hook up while she wasn't working. And he may have gotten her pregnant and had her murdered to cover up the fact and then had the lower body removed. I was like, there's just easier ways.
It just seems so extreme.
It really does. I was
sugar
like,
back home.
Like, no, like, I mean, not that I want you to disembowel anybody, but like cutting them clean in half just seems like way more difficult than, I don't know. Any other thing you could do to hide it?
Totally.
So that's not my favorite theory.
No.
Okay. Where am I? Yeah, that just sounds like a bad, like, Lifetime movie.
Exactly.
That's not, like, a real thing that would happen,
like,
I don't think.
I'm pregnant. And he's like, no! Now I have to chop you in half.
Sorry, I have no other choice.
There is nothing else.
I have to cut you in half. Okay, so, and it also wasn't mentioned if they tested her blood for HCG levels to check for pregnancy.
That would have been a good thing to do.
They didn't say it. They didn't do it.
Ugh.
It's like, I don't know why I wasn't running this investigation. Right? I feel like I could have figured this out.
I feel like you would kill it.
I need to go back. I need a time machine. Last episode, I would go back to 1996 and I would stop her from being murdered, one. But two, if I couldn't do that, I would do things differently.
You'd have to talk in an old-timey Boston police accent.
Boston.
Yeah.
Southie. I really can't. I just like,
I was impressed.
It's a hard one to do.
Yeah. No.
I just can't. Boston.
Yep.
That's all I've got. Okay, so the night of Karina's disappearance was just like any other night in Boston. So the bars were busy. There were people everywhere. Nobody was paying close attention to a young drunk woman who was out with her friends. So, yeah, like we said, she lost her friends and the bar closed. Which I'm like, what's some shitty friends?
Yeah.
But I guess if you're just, they lost her, how are they supposed to find her without cell phones? Can't even track your friend's location.
I know. Find my friends.
You can't.
I can't do it. I can't.
You have to do it the old-fashioned way. Hire a detective.
I, like, let people know, hey, I'm leaving, and then, like, hey, I'm at your house. Hey, I'm stuck in traffic.
One time, Taylor texted me. She's like, hey, I'm at your front door. I knocked a few times, but nobody answered, and ringing the doorbell seems aggressive.
It does.
I'm like, ring the doorbell, man.
I'm so millennial. I'm like, I would hate to inconvenience anyone with that ring.
It's not like we have a newborn baby napping or something.
I mean, when someone rings my doorbell, even if my you're baby's like,
oh my gosh,
like, rude. What is going on here? It's so rude. I didn't answer when you knocked. I didn't want you to be here. What, now you're going to yell at me through the chime?
Yeah.
Get out.
I don't even have a doorbell camera.
No.
I need one.
I don't either.
I need one. Okay.
I'll be like, what do you want? Get out of here.
What do you want? I know. I want to get the doormat that says this isn't a whorehouse, it's a whore home. Because then people look at it and they're like, oh.
Never mind.
Like salesmen, they're like, I don't want to deal with a whorehouse situation. But I have kids. I can't do that. Damn it.
You can. Come on.
Sure. My kids will be like, what's a whore? I'm like, ugh. I can't get into it right now.
Let me tell you.
Okay. So with that being said, there's witnesses who saw her dancing, getting into someone's car. There was somebody who said there was an altercation between her and somebody in a car, yelling at her that he was going to, like, break her head in or something.
Whoa.
But.
Now that's aggressive.
I'm like, drunk people usually are not reliable eyewitnesses.
No.
So not much can be said, like, if anything they saw.
People in general are not.
Well, if they're like, hey, did you see this girl? Yeah. And you're like, oh, like, I don't know, maybe.
I think I did.
Yeah, so I'm like, I just, none of that means anything to me.
Yeah. Well, and especially, like, I think if someone were to, like, come at me with, like, a picture of someone and there say there was, like, an altercation or something, I'm like, oh, maybe it was that girl. Because then I'm thinking, like, they're asking me this because something's happened to this person.
Right.
So I'm going to put these two things together in my mind, even if they're not at all related. I know.
Yeah, the power of suggestion, man.
Yeah.
Okay, so multiple investigators in this case have noted that the reason nobody's been charged with the murder is that there's no crime scene.
Yeah.
And, like, very little evidence. There's, like, basically no physical evidence besides her body and the bag that has, like, maybe a helpful fingerprint, maybe not.
I just, like, ugh, I don't know. Like, how far did they haul the body? Like, it had to have been nearby, right?
You would think.
You would think.
I don't know. So, the only piece of evidence that they had was, like I said, the partial fingerprint on the garbage bag, rope marks on her neck that were caused the strangulation. So one of the detectives, David Meyer, he was actually on a law firm, and he says that the thing that haunts him is that there's no crime scene and there's no ability to determine with any definite basis how she was killed, why she was killed, where she was killed, never mind who killed her.
Totally.
Yep. So the best that investigators and professional and amateur have been able to come up with the lack of evidence is that her body was discovered, that she was kidnapped from the area, she was strangled with probably a rope, dismembered in another place before being dropped at the dumpster.
Wow.
So everyone involved with the case admitted that there's no way to solve the case without some huge substantial piece of evidence dropping in their lap. Unfortunately, that is not something that happens in the real world, and I'm going to assume that, yeah, I already told you that I think that her lower half was probably in a different dumpster, probably nearby.
Yeah.
Or maybe they dumped it in the river. I don't know.
I'm just surprised, like, if she really had sent or was sending, like, this letter to a friend saying, like, oh, something's happened, I'll tell you later,
mm-hmm.
like, did none of her friends know anything that was going on? Like, the ones that, like, she was at the bar
yeah,
with?
Yeah, like, her au pair friends.
You think that, like, they would have, yeah, like, especially if it was with a someone she was working for, mm-hmm. you'd probably bitch about it with your, like, fellow
au pairs. Like, oh my gosh, the family I work for is so this and
totally,
that.
Totally, because they're mm-hmm. like, oh, can relate. So you think that one of them would have, like, some sort of
Other than them losing her, we don't hear anything about them.
Which is crazy to me.
I know. This story kind of pissed me off. Okay, so Detective Tommy O'Leary, who led the case in 1996, says that he's still searching for the murderer or murderers, and he routinely investigates leads, like, into her murder. On the 20th anniversary of the crime, he claims to have received a tip about an apartment in the Fenway section of Boston, which is where she was discovered. Oh. So he raced over there to find nothing more than an empty apartment. So somebody called in a fake tip about the murder.
No.
Assholes. He says, I don't want to say it would take a miracle, but it would take an extraordinary piece of evidence to charge someone, let alone prove beyond reasonable doubt.
Right?
This far that's out. All we know. So we may never know. So they're like, there's no such thing as the perfect murder. It might be this because they know nothing.
Which is crazy.
I know.
And to have, like, be murdered in such a brutal way and just, like, have nothing.
I know. And for, like, apparently no reason.
Totally.
I mean, unless she was pregnant. But still, that just, that's
it just
not
doesn't
it.
Make sense to me. That's just not.
That ain't it.
The easiest route. But also, people kill, like, their spouses because they're, like, having an affair. And I'm like, hey, how about a divorce, pal?
They're like, no, that wasn't an option.
Like, that was just too, it's too scary to tell them I'm done.
No,
I'd much rather
have to die.
Yeah, kill them off. I'm like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Stupid. My sources were Cracked.com article, Who Murdered This Swedish Immigrant and Stole the Lower Half of Her Body by Jacob Shelton. Front page detectives.com article, 25 years later, The Gruesome Swedish Nanny's Murder in Boston Remains a Mystery by Nate Homan. Medium.com article, The Murder of Swedish Au Pair Carina Holmer. Boston police are hoping to find answers 25 years after their cruel, mysterious death by Verity Partington.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, what a bummer.
I know. I was like, that was very unsatisfying.
Oh.
But that's where we're at.
Well, thank you.
Mm.
Thank you for sharing. And if you know anything about Karina's lower half, that would be great.
That would be super great.
If you know where she was murdered, great.
If you have some connection in Boston, we have a Boston listener. I feel like she must know something. Yeah.
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 Tell us. What do you know? What do you know?
What do you know? Tell us over a Boston cream pie. And give us your best Boston accent. Because mine's terrible.
Yes.
It's downright offensive.
It was great. Okay? Don't down yourself like that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wow. Lovely story.
It was the worst.
Thanks for sharing a half story.
You're welcome. Yeah, seriously.
Literally half. No. It was crazy. Okay. So, I'm going to tell you the story of a woman named Sandra Boss. Okay. She was a Stanford graduate, or is a Stanford graduate, but at the time she was a Stanford graduate, and she was getting her MBA at Harvard.
Jeez. She is Sandra Boss.
Real casual
mm-hmm.
schools.
Mm-hmm.
Until her sister introduced her to a man.
Not a man.
A man.
No.
Named Clark Rockefeller.
Oh, shit.
Have you ever heard of that name?
Yes.
No. Just.
They have a center.
They do. They sure do.
New York, I believe.
Yeah. So she had been invited to a cocktail party at his New York apartment, and it was a themed cocktail party.
Love a good theme.
I love a themed party.
Was it emo?
I wish. This was early 90s, so no.
Oh.
Emo had not yet come around. Mm. I think goth had been around, mm-hmm. but not so much emo. So, but I really do love a theme party. We've talked about this on here, how we would love to do like some sort of party where everyone wears a bald cap mm-hmm. or whatever.
A Guy Fieri theme. Mm-hmm.
But I was talking to a friend and she's like, "Ooh, I hate a themed party." I'm like, "Who are you?
Like, explain.
Tell me. What's wrong with you?" But so the theme was the game Clue.
Oh,
yes.
That's fun.
And each person came in costume. She came as Miss Scarlet.
Mmm, sexy.
And Clark came as Professor Plum.
Purple and red. Right?
Those jewel tones.
She really liked him, and she thought he was super smart and funny, quirky. He was, like, very complimentary of her. Very just charming.
Mm-hmm. Flattery will get you everywhere.
It sure will. And he also wore designer clothing and had expensive art in his home that he collected. And he lived in an upscale New York apartment. Okay. As you would expect, right?
Yes.
Obviously, she was charmed and dazzled.
She sounds smitten.
She was smitten beyond belief about from him. And his wealth and upscale apartment. She's like, wow. Whoa. You have it all.
He's it.
Yeah. And so they began dating in 1994. And then she graduated and secured a finance job in New York. So she moved in with him. And he told her that he was an heir to the Rockefeller fortune, but he was on the outs with a lot of his relatives.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. And didn't really see them. He also told her that his parents had been killed in a car crash in 1978, and they just had a whirlwind romance.
Hmm.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
They got married shortly after meeting in 1995.
Wow.
Yeah. After they got married, she said some of the charm kind of fell away.
Oh, no.
He didn't have to try as hard, you know? And, I mean, they only dated for, like, at most a year.
Yeah.
So.
Can you imagine marrying someone after a year?
No.
I did that.
I truly can't even imagine.
But. Whoops.
People do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going great. Look at you guys.
It's working out. Yeah.
It's going medium.
I know. We're always like, what? That was a gamble.
Right? Oh my gosh.
Paid off. Married
so young.
Child bride.
But, I mean, only a year, and he's like, nah, don't put on a show anymore.
Yeah, he's like, man, sheet, come down.
Easy peasy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very insistent that they, like, keep everything in their life very secretive because, you know, he's got a big name.
I'm a Rockefeller. We have to be super private.
We have to keep our life private. Private.
Mm-hmm.
He would always handle the finances, and she would work. At one point, she was working as a senior partner at McKinsey & Company, a global management consulting firm, and she was making around $1.4 million a year.
I'm sorry, Miss Boss.
She is the boss.
She's the boss.
Right? Also, important to note, this story is in, like, has so much to it and so many details, and I just had to, like, condense it. So,
yep.
There is a ton to this story. So if I leave something out, don't come at me, okay?
We would never.
But.
We don't care about details.
Right? So he's rich. She's rich. She's providing a lot of funds to their lifestyle. And she would, like, even. So since, he would handle the finances, but she was, like, not really, like, paying attention to them. So she would just, like, sign blank checks for him to use.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And he would always put charges on her credit cards because he apparently didn't have any credit cards in his own name.
Because?
I don't know.
Reasons.
Who knows? He doesn't need to.
I'm a Rockefeller.
Put it on the tab.
He's like, you should have a black card or like a really fancy card. He's like, no, I don't have any
credit cards. Yeah, like one of those ones that's like straight metal that like.
It's like a platinum
card. I don't know. So I used to work at Starbucks, and someone came in and they had one of those cards that was like metal, and it was like, yeah, it was like black, and I remember like every time you're swiping you're like
it's like so black,
it was aggressive,
and you're like, why are you so rich,
scraping the inside of the credit card machine. It's like it's cutting right through.
That sounds like violation.
It actually cut off. It cut it right in half.
It was steaming,
and they're like, put it on my card.
Happens all the time, yes. I could buy this whole place.
So, he was also doing some weird things, like having multiple phone lines installed, and he would have all their mail delivered to a P.O. box because he wanted them to move very frequently. And he also had some, like, real big aversions to certain areas of the country. Like, he refused to visit California because he hated it.
Okay.
Bit of a diva, okay?
Okay, Mr. Rockefeller. Said,
I would never step foot in Connecticut.
Connecticut is super barf, everyone knows.
Gross. It's only, like, isn't that where, like, Gilmore Girls is filmed?
I think so. It's like pretty close to New York.
It's beautiful. Okay. Yeah.
Connecticut's too good for you.
That's right.
Mr. Rockefeller.
Absolutely.
Not you, listener.
No.
Connecticut would be so lucky.
Oh, they'd be so honored. They'd love to invite you to their like little starry light events.
Is that what they do in Connecticut?
I don't know. That's what I picture in my mind. I feel like
there's a country club.
Yeah.
With your name on it.
Absolutely. They also had a daughter named Ray Starro Mills Rockefeller in 2001. And she had the loving nickname Snooks.
She sounds like she's from Jersey Shore.
Right? I'm like, Snooks. Maybe that's just because of Snooki that I'm like, wow.
I know. It's just negative. I know, because her name is Ray Starro.
Yeah. And it's Ray spelled R-E-I-G-H.
Okay. What is this?
Okay.
Did you find that from the Tragedy Utah name page or whatever?
That's not even a Utah page. That's just like a whole countrywide page. It's great. But it's terrible. It's beautiful. I mean, I like the name Ray.
Yeah, Ray, like if you spell it.
I just would never.
With zero G's.
I just never would spell it out that way in my mind.
In your mind's eye, no.
Just saying.
No.
So, Snooks.
Okay.
Was her nickname.
Snooks Rockefeller.
Mm-hmm. So, Sandra was super confused by her husband's behavior, just like wanting to move all the time, and she just didn't really feel like she trusted him very much anymore. So in 2007, she served him with divorce papers.
Divorce.
Yeah. Clark was jobless. He, and like a complete mystery, because once she got her big job, he, I think, lost his job with what he was doing in finance. And then he just kind of like, well, you're bringing in money. Like, I'm not going to.
He's like, I'm just going to be a stay-at-home husband.
Yeah, exactly. And so he became Mr. Dad.
Hmm. I mean, we can respect it.
Yeah, which is great. So, since he didn't have a job and he kind of was like being shady or whatever, she was awarded full custody in 2008. And Clark was allowed visitations with his daughter and also received a divorce settlement of $800,000.
Sheesh.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, Sandra Boss.
Right? And in 2008, while he was enjoying one of his three court-approved visitations, because it hadn't been that many, it hadn't been that far out, and Sandra was waiting in a nearby hotel, something happened.
No.
So.
No.
Clark was Snooks. Carrying his seven-year-old daughter, Snooks, on his shoulders, and they were heading to Boston Common, apparently to ride the swan boats in the public garden.
Okay.
And he apparently called a limo service that he was paying $3,000 for. And he told the driver that he and his daughter had a lunch date in Newport, Rhode Island with a senator's son. He had important things to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like setting up an arranged marriage between the senator's son and Snooks.
Absolutely. And that they might need help getting rid of a clingy friend who would try to get in the limo. So the limo driver's like, yeah, man, no problem. I promise. We won't let anyone else in the car without your consent. And so as he sees Clark approaching with his daughter, he does see this sort of clingy guy right behind him. And all of a sudden, Clark pushes this person away and pulls his daughter into the limo as fast as he could. And he hit his daughter's head on the door frame and then started yelling, go, go, go. And off they drove.
It was a social worker, wasn't it?
Dragging the court-appointed social worker.
Shit.
Who was holding the back door handle several yards before he finally let go and fell onto the pavement. That's right.
That sucks for the limo driver. He's like, I just aided a kidnapping.
Right?
Shit.
Clark kidnapped his own daughter.
Snooks.
The worst.
I hate it. Social workers, they need to make more money.
Absolutely. It's a nightmare. So, meanwhile, Sandra, waiting for this visit to be over, is then informed that Clark has taken off with their daughter.
Mm-mm. I would die on the spot.
Right? And they're like, police are on it. No big deal.
She's like, no big deal.
No big deal.
Okay. I'll just calm down.
The only problem was they were entering his name into international databases and it was coming back with nothing.
Who is this man?
They asked if she knew his driver's license number, But she didn't.
Of course not. Who knows that? I don't even know my own.
Absolutely. 555-738-9924. I don't know.
No, never.
No. And then they asked if he had a social security number. And she's like, I mean,
I assume there's one.
Right? But she didn't know it. And then they asked if he was on her tax returns. And she said, no. Even his credit cards were on her accounts. And his cell phone number was under the name of a friend.
What?
Red flags. Didn't have any identification for her husband at all.
Oh, wait. He doesn't exist.
So 24 hours after his disappearance, the case was being handled by an agent named Noreen Gleason, who was a tough blonde who was a 17-year veteran of the FBI.
Yes, Noreen.
Yes. And she was assigned to the Boston field office. And she called the Rockefeller family, and they said that they're under no circumstances was there a link and that they were not connected.
Oh, shit.
Clark lied.
You're like, Clark Rockefeller?
He's a liar, pants on fire. They're like, we would never.
They're like, Clark, that's such a peasant name. We wouldn't pick that name.
Everyone in our family is named like...
Gerald.
Gerald the Fifth.
We're all, their first name must be Gerald. We would never choose Clark.
We love the mix of the name Gary and Harold.
Gerald.
It's something.
Did you say Gerald Clark? Just Clark? That's a no.
It's something we've dreamed of for years.
Even the women are named Geraldine.
Geraldine. Oh my god. Oh. Well, it turns out that Clark had a very well thought out plan for his escape. He had told the limo driver that he was going to meet a friend in New York, and like all of his friends, he told all of his friends where he was going, but in every single case they checked, every location was different.
Shit.
He told one friend that he was sailing to Peru. He told others he was going to Alaska, Turks and Caicos, the Bahamas.
This sounds like a Dwight Schrute plan.
Absolutely.
He's like, I tell them I'm going to Germany, but really I go to Canada.
Exactly. And then he told the limo driver he was going to New York, but then when they talked to that friend, different place, you know? So everywhere was a dead end.
Mm.
And that, but the night before he left, he had a glass of wine with a friend at their house. And luckily, the friends hadn't washed the glass the next day. And so they lifted fingerprints from it and sent them off to the FBI lab. And while they waited for results, they released pictures to the media and received at least 4 different identities for this person.
Shit.
Yeah.
No.
Some people knew him as Chris Gerhardt, a University of Wisconsin film student. Others as Christopher Chichester, who was a descendant of British royalty who had charmed the residents of wealthy Los Angeles suburb. Residents of a wealthy Los Angeles suburb in the 1980s, only to vanish after being sought for questioning in the disappearance of a couple and their possible murder. Another
Chichester?
Chichester.
It's no Geralt, but
it's no Geralt.
It'll do.
It'll do. So another identity was Christopher Crow, a TV producer who worked for at least 3 Wall Street investment firms in the late 1980s before suddenly vanishing. And then, of course, Clark Rockefeller.
Mm-hmm.
As Clark Rockefeller, he had many very important friends who were artists, writers, producers, doctors, etc. And then when the results from the lab came back, it informed everyone that he was not a man named Clark Rockefeller, but instead a man named Christian Carl Gerhardtsreiter.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great.
He was a 47-year-old German immigrant who came to America as a student in 1978 and disappeared into a complicated existence.
My gosh.
Right. So the Boston District Attorney called this disappearance the longest con I've seen in my professional career.
Wow. Mm-hmm. He's nothing if not committed.
Absolutely. And people were stressed because he's missing, and now they're dealing with a person who may have committed homicides.
Yeah. And he has a child with him.
And he has a child with him. Great.
Great.
The worst case scenario.
Mm.
And clearly he's not afraid to lie to everybody multiple times.
He's good at it.
Yeah. So he had grown up in Germany, and he was kind of a misfit and was, like, always seeking fantasy. And one time he was on a train and he met a family from America who were very charmed by him. And they told him that if he was ever in the U.S., he should look them up. And so he decided he really wanted a fresh start. Mm-hmm. And he arrived unannounced on the family's doorstep in Meriden, Connecticut.
That would really freak me out.
I know. One person you've met, like, forever ago, and they're, like, on a train.
Who are you?
They're like, you should come by sometime. And he's like, hi, I'm here.
Oh, gosh. No. Nightmare.
No, thank you.
I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, so he shows up on their doorstep in 1978, and he lived with them for a little bit, and then he found another place to live, like, through classified ads or something.
Mm.
And he moved in with them, but apparently he was kicked out of their house pretty quickly because he was super demanding of what this family was supposed to do for him. He was like...
This is the train family?
This was the family that he moved into after the train family. He, like, found the classifieds ad, he was living with them, but then he was like, I demand that my food is prepared for me by the time I come down in the morning. And then he was like... wanting his clothes to be washed and folded for him and stuff. And the family's like, we're done with your shit. Get out of here.
Yeah, I'd be like, absolutely not. I don't even want to do that for me.
Exactly.
Let alone you.
Right? And that's when he gave himself his new name, Chris Kenneth Gerhardt. And he went to the University of Wisconsin and studied film. And there he married a woman only long enough to receive a green card.
Oh, bastard.
Mm-hmm. And then he divorced her and stopped attending classes.
Cool.
Yep. Now, he changes his name again to Christopher Chichester.
He's like, I want to really fly under the radar, not draw attention to myself. So I pick Chichester.
He super doesn't want to fly under the radar. So he had mastered English by this point.
Oh, yeah.
And he decides he's going to move to L.A. And then he goes to a wealthy suburb, like this wealthy suburb of San Marino. And he started to become a regular local business, like business and social clubs, where free lunches were, like, given to certain, like, members. And then he also would, like, be a regular at prominent churches where weddings and beautiful buffets were easily crashed, and at the library where he could loiter and read a ton and become, like, super educated.
Hmm.
And so soon, with his Ivy League clothes, impeccable manners, and aristocratic accent, he was squiring the town's elderly widows around and was enjoying their big houses and their lavish lifestyles.
Ew, he became a sugar baby?
Pretty much. Itch. He also would flash an oversized calling card and embossed with what he claimed was the Chichester family crest. Let me describe this crest to you.
Mm.
The crest was a heron with its wings spread, with an eel in its beak, with the family motto, firm and foy, meaning firm in faith. And read, Christopher Chichester, 13th Baronet.
Okay.
And he would just show this to everyone.
It's quite elaborate.
Yeah. So he's like wedding crashing all over the place.
He's like, have you seen my family crest?
He's like, flash it. They're like, oh, who are you? And he's like, I'm the 13th Baronet.
You know,
Chichester.
Who I'm imagining is Andy Bernard from The Office.
Yes.
And he's like Sperry shoes and his blazer. And he's like, I went to Cornell.
Absolutely.
Like that.
Yep. And then he's hanging out at, like, all these country clubs where you have to, but he doesn't have a membership. He's just, like, hanging out there and, like, but he's, like, acting so confident that people just, like, believe he belongs there. Yeah. And he charmed everyone, and everyone thought he was super important. So much that he was even given his own television show in San Marino.
What?
Yeah.
Who is this guy?
I don't know. And he told everyone that he was a student at USC Film School. He became a regular at USC Film School. And it seemed like he knew everybody and everything there. And yeah, but there were no records of him as a student.
So he just belongs.
Yeah. And people said that he would always have a screenplay from the USC library under his arm. And he acted like he was a teacher's aide for one of the prestigious induction to film courses.
He's so good.
He really is. And so this class, like this prestigious class, was a class where they would have guest speakers in all the time. And some of these guest speakers included people like Alfred Hitchcock, Orson Welles, Clint Eastwood.
Whoa!
Like major people. But like, can you even imagine going to a school and acting so important and involved that even though you don't go there, nobody even questions it? And they're like,
no.
Great. And he's also getting invited to these insane, huge parties.
No.
That are, like, for only important people.
It's just, like, that charisma. It's just, like, that makes the best con men.
Right? It's insane.
Mm.
So, while he was there, he also lived in the back house of a woman named Dee Dee Sohus. Okay. And she was, I think, an alcoholic.
Cool.
Yeah. And so, but also Dee Dee's son and daughter-in-law also lived with her. John and Linda Sohus. And they went missing in 1985.
That's not great.
No. And shortly after, Christopher Chichester disappeared as well.
Whoa.
Yeah. So that's in 1985. So 9 years later, in 1994, the skeletal remains of John were discovered in the backyard of the house. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But by that time, Christopher Chichester was long gone.
And never existed.
Yeah. And he was now Christopher Crow, a man working on Wall Street with no degree.
I'd like to see that family crest.
Right? No degree, no experience, no social security number. So even in July of 1995, there was a segment of Unsolved Mysteries, an episode called San Marino Bones, that talked about workers digging a... So they were digging for a swimming pool, and that's when they discovered three plastic bags containing human skeletal remains. So apparently the couple, like, before they disappeared, this is where it gets kind of interesting. So the couple, before they disappeared, they were telling some friends that they had gotten, like, an important job with the U.S. government, like a satellite program in New York. And the mom, like, Dee Dee, thought that they were on a top secret mission for the government in Europe.
None.
So, like, they were supposed to be gone only for a short amount of time, but they never returned. And so, like, but she kind of was just like, well, they, like, left for this secret mission. Like,
I'm sorry, but, like, who goes on secret missions? Like, civilians?
Right?
No.
Well, and I think they were doing some sort of, like, job that they weren't supposed to talk about, but they disappeared before they left. And there were also some really weird things that they had talked about in the Unsolved Mysteries. Like, they had interviewed some of the neighbors. Like, one of the neighbors said that Christopher borrowed a chainsaw from him. Very casual.
Yeah.
And a neighbor girl also came to play Trivial Pursuit because he invited her over to play it. And when she got there, the whole backyard was dug up. But she was told that he was just having plumbing problems.
Checks out.
Yeah.
Sure.
She's like, oh, he's a handyman too.
He's digging holes with the chainsaw.
It's a gentleman.
It's innovative.
And a handyman.
And a scholar. He's good at Trivial Pursuit.
Absolutely. I love that game sometimes.
I know. I freaking love trivia.
I know. Me too. So I guess they luminoled, like, his apartment, and it showed traces of blood on the floor.
If they did that to my house, they would also find blood.
Right? Probably. I'm like, who doesn't have blood in their house?
Who doesn't?
Come on.
As if your kid hasn't had a bloody nose massacre all over everything.
Like, oh, I'm sorry. Your kid never bleeds in the evening.
Bleeds his own blood. Drops a baseball on their own face.
Right.
On Valentine's Day. That happened at our house. No. Don't you remember the Valentine's Day massacre? It's the reason I know that the guy from Making a Murderer, Stephen Avery, is innocent.
Is that the day that we were recording and you had to keep going to help?
No, that was a different
time. That was rough. That was so sad.
Yeah, that's when Millie had a bloody nose coming out of her eyes.
Oh my God.
Because it was so wild.
That's the scariest thing
I called ever heard. Todd's cousin, who's an ER doctor. I was like, she's dying. She's a demon. Help. He's like, it's okay.
He's like, call up Lori Vallow. She'll know exactly what to do.
She will talk you through how to get that out. Oh my God. And that's why there's trace evidence of blood in my house. It squirted out of my daughter's eyes.
She's really trying to cover her tracks for a future crime.
Just in case. Just in case they're going to come here and see that. No, I'm telling you, that's why it's there.
Exactly. You heard it here.
Mm-hmm. I will refer to this podcast episode.
Episode 99.
Mm.
Perfect. Okay. But yeah. So he's now Christopher Crowe in Connecticut, and he does the same shit he always does. He becomes a regular in all these important places. He's like talking his way into important jobs and positions, and he was often in the trading room.
Like trading?
Yeah, because he's like doing finance stuff. So he's in the trading room and he's always like talking about himself, talking himself up and whatever.
Gosh, people like this are so obnoxious.
Right? And he ended up getting fired after someone checked his background through his social security number he gave.
Uh-huh.
And guess who it came back as?
The son.
No.
I don't know.
David Berkowitz.
What?
The son of Sam Keller.
Why?
I don't know.
That cannot be a coincidence. He probably just is like fellow killer.
Well, I'm sure he's just like, well, he's not using it.
I mean, sound logic.
He's like, it's a legit number. He's not using it.
I know he's in jail. I will just use
Nobody's going to check it, really.
Jeez. What an idiot.
God.
They're like, we know that this is not the son of Sam. You're out of here.
You're fired. And then again, landed another job that was way more that was super important and like he was underqualified for, but he was impressive. But he eventually got fired again.
Mm.
And he pretended that his parents were missing in Afghanistan and had to rush off because police were looking for him because. It's possible that they were tipped off that he had John from the couple.
Mm-hmm.
He had his missing truck.
Oh.
Because he tried to sell it to someone and the person like went to go like, yeah, like I would love to buy this. But they're like, let me just check some things.
Let me look up the Kelly Blue Book.
Right. And they like looked Car it up Fox. And it had like a lien on it. And they're like, and then they like talked to the police about it.
Yep.
I don't know. And then... So he disappears because his parents were missing in Afghanistan. He's got to go help.
Yeah. Just really casual.
Mm-hmm. And then when he shows up again, he's now Chris Rockefeller.
Okay.
Or Clark Rockefeller. Sorry. Oh, yeah.
He's
Chris too many times. I can't.
Yeah. He's like, I can't be Chris anymore. I keep forgetting my last name.
Right? And that's how we got all the way back to Sandra
Snooks.
Meeting Clark Rockefeller. And she had no reason not to believe him because clearly he's fooling everyone around the planet.
I would never judge Sandra for falling for his shit.
Never.
I would fall for a charming guy shit all day, every day of the year.
Absolutely.
Even after I knew he was a bad guy, I'd probably still fall for it again.
He's like, no, it was a mistake. I've changed. And you're like, I believe you.
You're like, oh, you are a Rockefeller after all. Oh my right? gosh, it's so weird that your family hates you so much.
It's so weird.
They won't claim you.
They won't even claim you. Is it because you changed your name? Because
you wouldn't be Gerald anymore? He's like, yeah.
That's exactly why, baby.
He's like, I just really wanted to be like Superman.
Yep.
And they're like, no, you have to be Geralt. And he's like, no, I gotta be me.
I gotta be Clark.
I'm Clark.
He changed it after a Christmas vacation.
Yep. Yep. And then he got himself a chin dimple to mm-hmm. match Chevy Chase. And mm-hmm. he's like, I'm Clark now.
Absolutely. But yeah, no reason not to believe him. He was very convincing. He sweet-talked everyone. And she loved him very much.
Mm-hmm.
Well... We're back to the kidnapping.
Oh my gosh.
He led the police on a 5-day goose chase
and they got a break when a real estate agent in Baltimore recognized his picture on the TV and called the FBI saying that he sold a carriage house on Ploys Street in Baltimore to a man that looked just like Clark Rockefeller. And he had paid $432,000 with a cashier's check, saying he was a single parent and a ship's captain and was relocating from Chile.
It's like, I am an honest man. Yeah. I'm a single father and a ship captain. Yeah. You can trust me.
And he's like, nice to meet you. My name's Chip Smith.
I'd be like, that's a dog's name. Get out of here.
That's legit what the name he gave. So the FBI surrounded his house on Ploy Street, but it didn't look like anyone was home. So what they did is they discovered that he had a yacht and he kept it docked in the Baltimore Marina. And when they like went out to the boat, they had people go out to the boat. They were able to see like a file named Chip Smith.
Why is that the dumbest name?
It's the dumbest. So they had the manager of the marina call him and tell him that the boat was taking on water. And he told them, I'll be right there.
Oh, yeah.
So when Clark walked outside of his home, a plainclothes agent called, hey, Clark. And he immediately turns around because he's Chip now. Okay. He's, so he's like, oh, damn shit. It.
Yeah. He's a big fan of the sea names.
Right? Because, yeah. And then the officer says, where are you going, Clark?
He's like, my boat is sinking.
Right? And he responded, I'm going to go get a turkey sandwich. And that's when 120 agents wrestled him to the ground.
Wow, that's many.
Yeah. And other agents stormed the house to get the daughter.
Oh, good.
And Sandra found out about her husband's history at this point. What? After 11 years of marriage.
Oh my gosh, I can't even.
Yeah.
What?
11 years. I know. I've been married 11 years. If I found out Jared was like not even Jared, I would die.
Right? And yeah, that's so long to be like, oh, you have no family and you have like just no life.
Right?
Like no backstory.
It's crazy.
Other than like words, like no proof.
He's just like no charming as hell.
Jeez.
Yeah. So after 11 years and her daughter getting kidnapped, she finds out this history. And Christian Carl Gerhartsreiter was taken into custody and convicted in 2009 of kidnapping his daughter, as well as the murder of John Soas.
Oh my gosh.
I guess Linda's body was never found. What? And never has been found.
Oh my gosh. What did you do?
Yeah. And he's serving a sentence of 27 years to life in prison.
Jeez.
Yep. Sandy now lives in London with her daughter. And I have to show you a clip from a 48 hours interview with him because he's crazy, right?
What?
But like, he's crazy. I'm texting it to you because... Mm. I'm just going to give you a brief synopsis before you watch it. So he is in a 48 hours interview and the interviewer is just like asking him basic interviewer questions. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, I don't like this. Just watch it. Okay. It's insane.
No, I'm trying to understand.
Judy, we got to stop this. Right. It's Aaron trying to twist my words.
No, here. I'm not. I'm just...
Judy, we got to stop this.
Did you forge this?
Yeah, I don't like the word forged, the way you're applying it to me. Aaron, Judy,
Well, which way did you make this?
Yeah, this is getting too adversarial again.
It's getting too adversarial.
Well, you can use what word you want.
It's too adversarial, Aaron. Judy, let's discuss that.
You don't believe you've hurt your daughter?
Adversarial again. Judy, stop the adversarial stuff. Is she around? Okay. The adversarial stuff has got to stop.
Oh my gosh, bro.
He's insane.
He like will not allow any questions.
He's like, did you forge this? I don't like the word forge. She's like, okay, well, what word would you like to use? This is too adversarial. I'm like, what?
Judy.
Judy.
Judy, stop this.
I know. I think someone commented and said I was cracking up. Let's see. Oh, gosh. Please don't play. They said. Oh, no. That's the wrong one. Oh, yeah.
He's treating Judy as if she were his servant.
Well, yeah, because he sounds like that's what he does.
Right?
Everybody's just there to serve at his leisure.
Yeah. So basically, he's just like a super dangerous, not cute narcissist.
Super difficult.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And so there's my story of the man who faked to be a Rockefeller and kidnapped his daughter.
It's like a bold claim.
Right. So my sources were a DailyMail.com article by the Associated Press called "I Was Scarlet and He Was Professor Plum. City High Flyer Tells Court How She Fell for Rockefeller Fraudster Accused of Murder." VanityFair.com, "The Man in the Rockefeller Suit" by Mark Seal, and a Ranker.com article, "Sandra Boss Didn't Discover Her Husband's True Identity for 11 years.
That is so crazy. It's like pretending to be a Rockefeller is right up there with like claiming you're a Kennedy.
Right? Like, why like not just take lower. A very low-key name? But he's like, no. Like, so he's like becoming a baronet and a Rockefeller. He's
really aiming high.
He's like flashing his family crest. He's
swinging for the fences, this guy.
He's like, hey, Chris Chichester.
I'm Christopher Chichester.
13th Baronet.
It's like, if this person dies, if like 40 people die, I'm the king.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. He's so what dumb.
An insufferable idiot.
Ugh.
I've never hated anyone more.
I really hate him. He's the worst. So.
Well, that was interesting.
Yeah.
That was wild. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Do we have a good
fraud story?
Anything else? No emails or anything?
No, but you guys, go join our Patreon. We did post our episode on betrayal. It's the crazy story of a man who, not unlike this man, tricked his wife into believing he was someone completely different. Mm-hmm. And he's
like a not serial cheater, not child sex offender.
Yeah. And he's the worst. So go check that out.
Definitely.
We will be doing a Murder Chats and Snacks probably next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because Christine's not going to be here this weekend.
I will not be around this
But weekend. We will we'll come at you at that time. Which honestly is actually better too because I'm getting my wisdom teeth out.
Oh my gosh.
On Thursday.
You're going to look like a cute little chipmunk. And guys, next week is the big 100th episode. Oh my gosh.
It's here.
What?
We're going to do something cool for it. Yeah, I don't know will. What.
Yeah, we don't know, but get ready.
Get ready for it.
And like I said, if you remember some really juicy Facebook beef that you'd like to share with us. Oh,
please. You guys, send us some emails. We love to hear your crazy stories.
We sure do.
Tell us your worst, your beef. Tell us your beef. Tell us your
talk to us all about worst beef.
Date stories. Tell us your family drama.
Yes.
We promise. We'll keep it secret.
Yeah. You can change names.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I think that's it from us.
Well, don't be a Chichester.
At very least.
Do less. God bless. Bloom and bloom out.